We're turning scriptures now to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. It's your Bible. In Exodus chapter 17, we'll be reading verses 1 through 16. Exodus 17, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 16. And Exodus 17, beginning in verse 1, these are God's words, so give your attention to them. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt me, or tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Well, it's God's word. So Israel, as they are coming now into the wilderness, they've crossed the Red Sea. They've had lack of food. The Lord has provided. Now they have no water to drink. So where should they turn? And they, having no water, they complain to Moses, calling upon him to give them water. And they quarreled there, it says, with Jehovah. And they state, as they often did, as they often do in the wilderness, in verse 3, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us?" Moses cries to the Lord for help, but Jehovah responds, calling him, verse 6, "Strike the rock with the rod by which you split the Red Sea." And the promise is that the water would come out from the rock and be provided, the water provided for the people. And Moses obeys. He names the place Massa, for they tested the Lord, and Meribah, for they quarreled with the Lord there. And this, and they're asking, again, is the Lord among us or not? And like Israel, beloved, when we're in adversity, we like to think that God is absent because we're in adversity, something's going wrong, God is not with us. That's what we think, that's what it seems like, and by believing He's not there, not present with us, we neglect His promises. And do just like Israel does here, we make Him out to be a liar. He promised, I am with you. I am your God, you are my people, and I'm with you. And every time we think He's not there, He's not for us, we are saying, God, you lie. You're breaking your promise. And then through verse 8, Amalek came to fight against Israel. There we see Amalek is defeated, but how? Verses 11 and 12. Through prayer to the Lord. Through prayer. The lesson to Israel that battles are won not by our own strength or our proper preparedness or the right method or anything like that, but by the Lord alone that battles are won. This lesson is so important that it was to be written in a book. And as we know, these things were written for our instruction, for our faith and life, as we learn by Paul in Corinthians, beloved. Then when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan to throw Himself down from the temple to see if God would be faithful and truly save him as promised, Jesus responded, quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, which says, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted Him in Massa." So here is Satan behind Israel, getting them to tempt or test the Lord. Jesus there tempted to commit the same sin as Israel did in our passage, but Jesus did not fail as Israel did, but remained true, obedient, and faithful to God. And so too we remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat," we read about that recently, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink," this chapter, "for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Christ was there present with Israel in this passage in the wilderness. And He's so too to us present, more so present with us, the church today, even as the pouring out of the Holy Spirit of Christ in us. And so we put our trust in Him, and we put our trust in His promises, and we do not doubt Him and making then Him out to be a liar, but He is the God of truth. And so we uphold His promises, for He is true and faithful. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word here. We're thankful that You continue to speak to us. That You're the God who continues to show mercy, that covenant mercy towards us, that loving kindness continue even as we sin against You. Continue in that long suffering and patience with us. We praise You for this, even as we praise You for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who through Him and in Him alone our sins are pardoned, all of them. That we are cleansed of our sin through His blood shed and sprinkled. And Father, we're thankful that You wash us clean, just as white as the snow, taking our sins as far as the east is from the west, from us. We praise You for the gospel. We thank You for the good news, even proclaimed here through the promises, that Jesus Christ is that living water by which alone we are satisfied, that we read about in John 4. He is that rock that supplies our every need, as He rules and reigns as our mediator King on the throne, not only as head of the church and head over us, but over all creation. And so we trust in Him. And we praise You that He is reigning and ruling, protecting and providing for us everything we need. And as we think of our physical needs, our Father, we do praise You for the many children in the womb. We ask that You would bless each one of them with faith in Christ. Send Your Holy Spirit even in the womb. We know that's possible if it be Your will, for You've done so even through John the Baptist in the womb, where He leaped in His mother's womb when in the presence of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we're thankful for our covenant children, even in the womb, and that You would bless them in the right time. You would call them to Yourself, if it be Your will. And we always trust Your will. Even for our children, we pray that who have gone off and turned from You and played the fool and become atheists or agnostics or anything like that, Father, who hate You and rebelled against You. We pray that You would stir up within them by Your Holy Spirit that word that they know is true and have heard and yet have suppressed it, like You teach us in Romans 1. Father, bring it back that they could not suppress it anymore. For You are the Almighty God who can overrule their suppressing strength, which is really weakness in Your sight. And call them to Yourself if it be Your will. And Father, we pray for each of us here that You would strengthen us against the devil and Satan, who there even tempted Israel, but also tempted Jesus, in which we proclaim the gospel that Christ was always faithful, never sinning. And we're thankful that there are no deeds of sinful flesh in Him, but only righteousness and perfect holiness and faithfulness unto Your law. And Father, we pray that You would turn our hearts unto Him and make us righteous as He is righteous and holy as He is holy. And that You would strengthen us against the wiles of the devil and give us that armor of God. And Father, cause us, even by Your Spirit, to resist the devil, that he would flee from us. For that is Your promise. If we resist him, he will flee, even away from us, so frail of creatures, and Him so powerful, but yet not more powerful than You. And so we praise You for Your power, Your omnipotence, and we praise You for Your grace, even by Your Spirit, that we know in Christ Your Son. Father, we do praise You. We're thankful for the life of that little child that died. We prayed about last week, that baby who had a chromosomal defect and affected her heart, that we heard the doctors say that she would only live about a month, and she has since died by Your providence. And we mourn and grieve with that family of Zach and Lisa and their extended family, and ask for Your help of consolation unto them, and even continued consolation and peace for Michael and Audrey, who went through the same thing. We're thankful that they were able to reach out to them and pray that they would, just as we learn in 2 Corinthians, be a comfort as they've gone through the same or similar griefs and sorrows and loss. And You would build them up to strengthen that family and many others in the time to come. Father, we do pray that You'll continue growing Your church and continue blessing Your people, not only in number, but sanctification for Your glory, that even our covenant children would profess faith in Christ. We pray also for Vanessa. We're thankful she's here with us and thankful she's alive. Praise you. And Father, we ask that you would continue to heal her and her body and mind, and give her comfort in Christ your Son. That again, this is your providence, and ask for your help sustaining her and providing for her. Our Father, we do praise you for the ordination of Stephen Mulder this last Friday, and praise you for that church plant that is going on in Oklahoma City, and pray that you'll be with him and that those members of that church in Stillwater who are going out and starting that church plant. So we pray that you'll continue moving the gospel forward as we look forward to that day when all the nations will come and bow to Christ your Son in covenant with him. And even that planting of a church gives us hope in that as the gospel continues going forward. We pray also for the installation of the two pastors, Joe and Derek, at the Shawnee congregation this coming Friday. Pray that it would be a blessed occasion that gives glory to your name alone, and that your power and strength and by your Holy Spirit, these men would be faithful to their duties in preaching the true Word of God and not going to the left or to the right or adding to it frills and things that are unnecessary and not rounding corners to make it more palatable instead of what it is, a stumbling block to those who refuse you and rebel against you. Make it true from their lips, as we pray for myself as well and any others who come and preach in this pulpit. And make it faithful with application to your children, your saints. Our Father, we do pray that you would be with us not only as a church, we pray as a nation. As we seemingly keep going in a wicked direction more and more, even as we studied the covenant of 1871 this morning for Sabbath school, we saw that there was such wickedness that they were repenting of and confessing about not only the church that was taking on the world's ways, but so too the world, and more so the world, the nation that we live in now. And such wickedness, every single point that was made in that covenant, we find in our own day. And it's really no different, and yet it seems more wicked. It probably is more heinous, surely, today, as we've continued in those same wicked sins of our nation's fathers. And we pray and ask for their repentance, and our repentance of our leaders today and the citizens, including ours, that we would not take on the world's ways, but follow after you, the living God, even in Christ your Son, by your Spirit. That we would love you and cherish your word and implement your word and practice your word and speak your word and read it and study it in private worship and family worship and in public worship every day for your glory alone. That we would not be turned to the right or to the left, but straightway on the glory in Christ your Son, on that righteous path of your law, by your Holy Spirit, and by the grace you supply to keep it. Our Father, we ask that you would cause our leaders to repent, that they would be turning to Christ, and they would cause our nation to covenant with Christ. That the nations, all the nations, would come and bow the knee, even its leaders and kings and princes, bowing the knee to Jesus Christ, lest they perish in the way. As we learn in Psalm 2. We don't want them to perish. We want them to submit to your Son, as we pray that we would submit. And that we would be praying We would be calling upon our leaders locally and all the way to the federal level as we have opportunity, calling them to repent of their sins, calling them to turn unto Christ and bow the knee unto Him, and calling them to have this nation repent and turn to Christ. For that is this nation's only hope, or more judgments will keep coming. And the great judgment of the end of this nation in destruction will come. And another nation will step in. Father, we do not desire that. We do love this nation. We love that You've providentially put us here, and pray for it, and that You would show mercy even for the few righteous who remain. Father, as we continue worshiping You, we pray for Your glory, that Your name would be exalted and praised. Even now we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, as Zion's only King and Head. Amen.